B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets a sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, yeah. Fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. Even though I am broadcasting from beautiful Newton, Massachusetts this morning, as my wife is out of town and my son is in camp, so I am left with my 10-year-old daughter and a weekend ahead of me with 60-degree days with rain. So couldn't be any easier.
Have you formulated a plan yet? I know yesterday you were like, well, I have these days, and I'm going to do a movie one day. And has anything become any clearer?
Well, tomorrow is Boss Baby Day.
Okay.
So those tickets have been procured. We are seeing Boss Baby 2. That is happening around 4:30 on Saturday. So I have the cozy calendar, and that's for tomorrow. And on the 5th, when Stephanie comes back, there is activity at my pool. There is like a 4th of July celebration at the pool. But the other days, complete blanks. This is a canvas of which to paint whatever we want.
I'm taking the family up to Maine for this coming weekend, and I'm looking at the forecast, and the forecast up in Maine is no better than it is here. And so now I'm basically in the same boat, but just in a different house. You know, I have no idea what to do with the kids. There's no beach time. There's no beach weather this weekend. So, you know, we were looking at movies too, and I was running the movies down with the kids, and I went through Boss Baby, and they're like, Dad, we don't want to see that. And I'm like, well, we may force you to go anyway.
Exactly.
Well, Fast and Furious, John. I thought
the kids aren't into that, and it breaks my heart. You know, the kids are like, whatever, Dad. I don't want to see that. Well, you know what? We're going. We're not sitting and staring at each other for 8 hours up at your grandfather's house. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, I'll nap after the show, and Zoe is like, well, since you're broadcasting from home, you can nap earlier, and that means you get up earlier.
And then, well, lucky you.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, and then she wants to go to Dave and Buster's, but even if I take her to Dave and Buster's, that's still only 2 hours out of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know why this feels so daunting.
You'll be back by 2 o'clock, Fred.
Exactly, that's the thing.
There's more day. The earlier you nap, the more day there is.
Exactly, and so, like, I don't know why this feels so daunting, but it certainly does. This seems like a massive responsibility. I've been alone with the kids before, but I just don't know why filling these days, because everyone's out of town, because no one stays in town on the 4th of July. So it feels like her and I are like the only people on the planet. None of her friends are around. Like, I've tried to make plans with all these people and they're all out of town.
You look outside and you go, oh, there's no reason to even go outside.
Exactly.
It's awful. The drive-in was terrible.
Yeah, that's the trap. I mean, it's depressing when it's 60 degrees and raining for three straight days.
In July.
Yeah, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. But the other part of it is, it's just easier. The weather's nicer. It's just easier. You get outside and just do stuff. And now that big option has been taken away from all of us. So now we have to figure out other stuff to do. There's only so much stuff you can do before you go bouncing off the walls.
Wasn't Memorial Day weekend awful,
yes,
too?
Yes, Memorial Day sucked also.
Memorial Day was in like the 40s. I think I broke down and turned the heat on one of the days over Memorial Day
weekend. Well, for that to happen for you, Dan, that must have been really something.
It was bad. Yeah, it was really
deep. Dan's got the windows open when it's 49 degrees outside, so I'm shocked that you actually thought to do that. It's impressive.
Like, I had to.
We are cursed. We are definitely cursed. There is something going on in Massachusetts that these holiday weekends, we are cursed. I have no idea why this feels so daunting, but I guess I'm not in Maine. Now, John, this is your dad in Maine, right?
Yes.
So will he take the kids?
My father's 84, so no, he will not take the kids. Okay. I mean, I may get one night, and usually when my wife and I take the kids up to visit their grandparents, they'll keep them. There'll be one night where, you know, they babysit the kids, and my wife and I'll go out to dinner. But now that my father has reached a certain age, that doesn't happen, if you know what I'm saying. So.
Yes, you're saying that you do not trust him. Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I hope he's not listening.
That's right.
You guys got all these problems, man, and I'm like, you know, 10:01 today, and I'm, you know, ready to go for.
Well, you're a man about town, Joe Murray. You're already shilling for Doms. You got the T-shirt on now. Well, of course you did. I bet you didn't pay for a damn thing.
No, I did. I did. I have an invoice if you'd like to see it.
But all I'm saying is, what does a man about town such as yourself do?
Well, Fred, I'm going to Cape Cod. And I know you guys are like, we've heard our traffic, blah, blah, blah. No, man, dude. So we have Bankroll Boys 7 to 9 tomorrow, and I'm on the road. I have 6 pounds of the great meat candy, some of the greatest steak tips in the world.
And I saw your video on Instagram. I believe it was on Instagram. Yeah. You have like 25 packages of meats.
Yes. Hot dogs, sausages, hamburgers, steak tips, grilled chicken, you name it.
How much can you eat?
So going into the weekend, like, this is, I'm jealous of you because you, like, go, all right, when the Bankroll Boys is over on Saturday, I have all this meat. And that is like the weekend to you. Your eyes are like got little hearts coming out of them. Yes. Because you know that you're going to be grilling up meats.
That's correct. I am, we're going to get there. Probably have a little hot dogs and hamburgers off the bat. I already got dinner plans for that Saturday night with the fam. And then, 4th of July, I will just be sitting there. I will only go to the pool or the beach and to the grill and back. That is it. I'm planting my ass in a chair all day long. And, like, I will just be sitting there eating and drinking all day long.
Rain or shine,
by the way.
So you're going to Cape Cod to sit inside?
No, I'm sitting outside. I don't care if it's out. No, I'll go out in the pool if it's raining. I don't care.
62 degrees and rain?
Don't care, dude.
Really?
No, dude, I made that. We're getting fireworks this week. It's happening. I don't care. Rain or shine, we're making it happen this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, where will you be getting fireworks? Are you going?
Oh, I'm not doing. No, they actually have them. The town I go to, Dennis, they have them.
I thought you were taking matters into your own hands.
No, I used to do. We used to do that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those days are over for me.
Oh.
We used to do the bottle rockets and all that stuff. Huh.
Really? Because now, are the fireworks in New Hampshire any good, or are they still?
I think they're good. It's just the whole thing is it's dangerous as hell. We've had some incidents.
Well, that's the thing is that in Tennessee, they sell like the fireworks that they use for these town fireworks shows. Like they sell them at the store. You can buy them. They're expensive. But even I, at my most irresponsible, have looked at those things and said, like, this is not a good idea. Something bad.
Yeah, I know.
Like I am not meant to be doing this. There is not, like, you would have to be in a, like, it would have had to have rained for like 5 days in a row, and you would have to be in a field. There was no way anything was going to catch fire. There was no trees around, nothing, in order to light that stuff off. It's tempting. It's tempting to go in there and like pick them up, and they're like, you know, like 20 pounds of firework, and you're picking it up, and you feel there's a part of you that wants to do that. But then I realize that that is not for me. But Joe, I'm very envious of you as you look forward to the long weekend.
I'd love to invite you guys down. Like if we have a
I know our invitation got lost in the mail.
No,
I know.
No,
it's happened before. I understand.
You guys have families and you do things, but this was one of the ideas I was thinking about for Nick's bachelor party was renting a spot, inviting everybody down because you can grill, there's a pool, beach, and come at your own leisure. There's not many spots to stay, so that'd be the biggest issue.
I just recall looking forward to weekends and looking forward to long weekends, and now they just seem like
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, now they just seem like never-ending endeavors. That so I mean, most people that are listening are probably thinking this is a long weekend. I'm going to enjoy myself, and John and I have to sit here and plan out what the hell we're going to do. Instead of just, because I could have just sat there. I could have just taken her to the pool and just sat there. I could have sat there in the pool for 3 days in a row, but it's not in the cards. All right. Well, I went to the Red Sox game yesterday, and I am a bit of a good luck charm.
Did you go the distance?
No.
Okay.
But it didn't seem to be taking a long time. It didn't seem like an awful long game, but I stayed. I had to get home. I had a babysitter, but I stayed quite some time. So I was there. I saw all the non-4th of July fireworks. I saw Valdi. There's some all-star news involving the team. We'll have all that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening, you were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Nine eight five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and you can give us a call at 617-779-0985. But last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, it started off with ding dongs, and it just kept dinging and donging all day long. Hit it,
swing, and there's a shot. Deep so point. Oh, he crushed it. That ball's gone.
Come see you later.
Number 20.
Souvenir for
that
the
was
fans.
A rocket.
Let it all hang out. Rafael Devers, what you going to do? You're an all-star now. You got to show up and make it 12 to nothing.
Oh, yeah. Way over the bullpen. 10 rows back
over
the bullpen.
This goes on for a while. Ding, dong, 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 ding.
Yeah.
I can. So there you go. That made it 12-0. The Red Sox end up winning this game 15-1. They have the best record in baseball. Evaldi went six innings, which is unheard of nowadays. Here's Evaldi talking about what's going on.
I feel like I've really been throwing the ball inside a lot more, a lot earlier in the game, and then my off-speed pitches have been feeling really well as well. Even the splitter. You know, I started throwing it earlier in the count and kind of keeping them off balance. You know, the Royals are a really aggressive swinging team, and they don't strike out a lot. They make a lot of contact. So being able to slow them down a little bit, keep them out in front.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing like taking the Uber into Fenway Park and checking on the starting lineups for that afternoon's game and seeing that Royals lineup. Oh, boy, that is a bunch of names that I've never heard of before.
Honest to God, I've heard of the top three and four in the order, but after that, completely lost.
Yeah, Perez. I mean, Perez.
Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez has been around for a while.
Yes.
But I mean, you're looking at that lineup, but regardless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the kid that the Royals were, he was throwing 88-mile-an-hour fastballs. It doesn't matter what was going on. The Red Sox are very, very good. And
shockingly so. Yes.
Yes. And the rest of the league is not. I mean, you can dismiss this and we can dismiss all these things, but I mean, this is a team that's putting up a lot of runs. It doesn't. And now there's, you know, Evaldi gets an actual set. Well, he actually pitched seven innings yesterday. He actually gets he did an earned win. So this is an exciting time for the Red Sox.
Well, I give him back credit. Back-to-back wins, right? Wins against the Yankees. And then this. So that's back-to-back good performances for him, something you don't see too often. You mentioned that Royals team. Did you know that Ervin Santana is still in the league?
Yes.
He's a guy who had that age issues, right?
Like right.
At one point.
Yeah.
It says he's 38.
No, he's not. He's 42.
Wait, Ervin Santana is still in the league?
That's what he's saying. Right? I know. That's amazing.
He was on the mound while you were at the game yesterday.
Really? I didn't realize it was the it was a man who's been in the league for 45 years.
He looked like he was 42. He pitched one inning and gave up four runs right after the starter who was throwing 88 came out. So,
yeah.
I mean, that whole Kansas, obviously Kansas City's horrible, and the Red Sox treated Kansas City like a good team should treat a bad team. But the bigger picture is they have the best record in the American League by two games, and they have more wins than anybody else in Major League Baseball, which is just shocking if you've watched this team and you took a look at the roster at the beginning of this year. No one would have thought this is going to happen. This team could win 100 games this year. This is ridiculous.
No, this team is on pace to win over 100 games this year. So I mean, yes, with this rotation, this should not be happening.
But is this a credit to the Red Sox or the league that sucks?
See, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at that rotation and the best pitcher, and by the way, the Red Sox have been pretty lucky. None of these guys have gotten hurt. It's been basically the same five guys every single turn through. But the best one of the bunch is the guy who pitched yesterday. And by all rights, Nathan Eovaldi should be a third starter on a good team. And he's your ace, for better or for worse. I think he's the only guy in that rotation with an ERA of under four. And in the playoffs, that matters. And you say, well, why are you bitching about it? I'm bitching about this because now I'm looking at this team and thinking they should make the playoffs. Whether or not they add a guy at the deadline, looking around the rest of the league, Tampa Bay has gone into a tailspin. The Yankees aren't any good. And Toronto, as much as people are pumping them up for their youth, they're not much good either. So they should the Red Sox should make the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs, and Fred, we were talking about this earlier this week, you got to start looking at guys you're going to slot in to start games 1, 2, and 3 of a playoff series. Who's your number one guy?
Well, that decision could be being made for you right now because Chris Sale had this to say yesterday.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but it is an exciting thought. I do know that when I do get back here and when we start rolling and getting into games and stuff like that, I'm going to be I'll be ready to go. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's been 2 years since he pitched in a game here. So, I mean, hey, I hope he comes back and is, what, 60, 70% of himself? Mm. And I think that would be a real plus if he was. But coming off of Tommy John, you can't expect that guy to come in and be the number one starter on a team that's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if I would improve the pitching staff. It's weird because if you look at it, if Sale's right, you have him, Eovaldi, and then who's your third starter? That's going to be the question. Perez, maybe, the way he's pitching right now.
Yeah, he's a five-inning guy. Eduardo Rodriguez, hopefully, is your guy. I mean, 2 years ago, he won 19 games. Yeah. So you're hoping he's the guy.
He did look good his last start.
Move Pivetta to the bullpen because I think he could be like a Joe Kelly type.
Okay. Know? And what about Garrett Richards?
Out!
Well, I mean, you've already taken one guy out of this rotation, which is fragile because we've been saying all week there's really nobody else to step in. So if you have Sale come in, you can take one guy out, but for the rest of the regular season, that means Garrett Richards takes a turn. I would rather have Richards in the bullpen and keep Pivetta where he is.
It's funny. Do you make additions to this team? Well, Chaim Bloom was on the Baseball Hour with Maz yesterday, and he had this to say.
I still think we have to keep our goal in mind of making sure that the biggest goal, I think the biggest obligation we have to our fans is to make sure we are as good as possible for as long as possible and to be able to get to the point where we can compete for a World Series every year and stay there. So that means that obviously all the future years matter. And that's why we're placing an emphasis on the farm system as we are. But 2021 also matters. So hopefully we're able to find things we can do that accomplish both goals.
Yeah, there's no big trade coming. There's no, and I keep saying this, but it's true, Fred. We touched on this earlier this week. You have three really good prospects right now. Duran, Cassius, who's playing first base at AA, and Jeter Downs, who's going to play in the Futures game in a little over a week. Three guys that are probably in the top 50 as far as prospects go in Major League Baseball, the way it looks. And Cassius and Duran are going to play for Team USA in the Olympics in a couple of weeks. So you don't trade any of those guys. And if you can get something done with a smaller prospect and maybe bring in a back into the rotation arm or maybe a bat to help lengthen out this lineup a little bit because there are some holes at the bottom of it, then you do it. But you can't make a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I wouldn't move any of those guys. But I hate when a GM comes out and says, we're thinking about the future and we want to be good for a long time. There's this big issue at the station lately. I don't know if you guys have heard this, Crossing Sports. It's like you can't do this. Did you watch the Celtics the last couple of years? Like, they tried to continually be good over the years, had chances in the Eastern Conference Finals, didn't make the moves, and didn't go to the finals. Like, look at the Hawks right now. Like, look at all these other teams. In baseball this year, there's no clear dominant team, in my opinion. You go for it this year. You absolutely go for it.
But you wouldn't trade your top prospects.
No, I would not trade any of those guys.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying, go get a bat. Go get, like, you have to get a lefty to help Dahlback. You're going to probably have to get another position outfielder at some point.
Well, I will say this, and I think I wrote this to you guys last night. The guy who could be a good replacement and will absolutely come cheap is a guy you're going to see the next three nights in Mitch Moreland, who's not playing well, not hitting well for Oakland, but he's familiar with the area. He's been a postseason hero for this team. He's a good pinch hitter, and there's your platoon with Dahlbeck, who has struggled all season.
Well, that, my friends, has got your mouth watering. But it is funny that this team has got more wins than anyone else in the major leagues, but I don't think anyone's making the argument that they should go all in this year. It is because you look at this team, and you could see them getting swept in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, if you face the wrong team. I mean, you take a look at the rest of the teams. Oakland has good starting pitching. Houston has good starting pitching. The White Sox have good starting pitching. And if you're going to face, you're absolutely going to face one of these teams in the first round, what do? I mean, you don't match up with them starter for starter. And your offense is good, 2 through 5, but if the other team's starter gets through that part of the order, the bottom of that order for the Red Sox is a wasteland. It has been all year. Yesterday accepted. I mean, not often the Red Sox are beating teams 15-1. If you get by Devers in the order, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are a crapshoot. So therein lies your problem.
By the way, Devers, along with Bogarts, voted starters in the AL All-Star game. Yep. Deservedly so.
Youngest, I believe, combo since like the 60s.
Yeah.
Not like a 28 or under, both those guys.
Devers is on pace to hit 40 homers and drive in 120 runs. That's ridiculous.
He's having a stupid year. It's ridiculous.
He
looks in good shape, too. I don't know if you saw him yesterday, Fred, but to me, I think he's lost a little of that baby fat.
What I did see, though, yesterday, which you will not often see, is during infield warm-ups, like when the first baseman's, you know, throwing the ball around the infield, the shortstop for the Royals wildly overthrowing first base.
Like Chuck Knobloch?
I didn't see that.
Like, no. It was just, you know, while the pitcher was warming up before the inning started. You know, the first baseman lazily throwing ground balls around the infield, and the shortstop picks it up and just throws one completely wild to first base, which I don't think I've ever seen. That is a special.
Not in Major League Baseball. Like, I can understand, like, Legion Ball or something like that. But
you don't often see it even with the little kids. But that is something that only the experience of being at the game can let you see. Well, Joe, I don't know how you're doing with your bets. I don't know how things are going for you gambling, but last night, a bit of a comeback from the Bucks. We'll get into that, plus Stephon Gilmore, what he believes is going to be happening over here with the Patriots as he continues his holdout. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, ugh, yeah. Ugh, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wonder if I could crack that coke any louder.
It's like you did it right on the mic. Yeah.
This room is like the worst room ever to do radio.
It's got a little bit of an echo.
It does. But
it's weird, Fred. Usually I'm used to when we're in a situation like this, and we were for a long period of time where you were at home and then you zoomed in and we were able to see you. I'm not used to you just sitting there with nothing happening behind you. Usually there are kids jumping around, your wife pops in, or there are baseball cards near you. And a lot of people don't know this. Fred, during the show, would like pop. There you go. Would pop up baseball cards.
He showed me. I mean, what do you want?
The
me
best
to do?
Was Fred has these random cards too. Like when we were talking, we were doing an interview, and Fred was not contributing for like a minute or two. He held up a team photo of the 1975 Red Sox randomly. I don't know how you have that. Or knew it was close by, or knew that I would be the only one in the room to get that. I was really impressed with you that day.
I mean, you can look at all these cards that you would think would be worth something, but are worth absolutely nothing. You know what's funny is the minute that it got 60 degrees outside, I stopped caring at all about right? any of these baseball cards.
The minute the restrictions were lifted and it got warm, go figure.
Yep. Yeah, it was every Saturday I would pick Milo up from baseball, and then we would go by this baseball card shop, and I would drop like $200 on these baseball cards, and as soon as it got warm, I stopped caring at all about them.
Now, have the prices gone down since everyone's been let out of their cages?
I literally have not paid any attention to baseball cards at all. I've actually been able to go outside.
I wonder, now that the demand is less than the supply, whether or not prices have actually, because you know this as well as anyone, Fred, prices spiked, about 6 months ago? Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, some kid bought a Mo Bamba card off of me for like $250.
Oh.
Mo Bamba.
Is he even in the league?
He's still around. Orlando? I forget where he is, but yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, speaking of basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, 123-112 over the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Joe Murray, you're a man who we know from the Bankroll Boys. Does a bit of gambling. I know this thing. What the hell is going on in this series?
Now Milwaukee 3-2. No Giannis, no Trae Young. So it was very boring. But I bet the over last night. And it happened with 3 minutes to go. There was about an extra 22 points or so.
Nice.
Really?
Which I got it over the total, so I was very happy.
Now, if you bet the over on a game, are you sitting there intently watching?
Yeah, so actually I'm kind of real superstitious. I need there to be like over 20 points in the game, like in the first. If it's like under 10 minutes, there needs to be like a certain amount on the board. Like at halftime, I need over 100 points, like especially on an over. But the second half yesterday was 105, and I doubled down on that one. And like I said, last 3 minutes of the game got a little crazy with a 13-point lead still. But yeah,
was
so
there a wrangle situation?
No,
Joe Murray.
No, not yesterday. But I will tell you that Clippers series wrangle every night. And the last game against Phoenix, there was a guy named Gobble, G-O-B-L, the ref, 1-9 in favor of the Clippers.
Whoa!
And that was one of the reasons why I had to go with Phoenix.
Wait, so he is in favor of the Clippers, but you went with Phoenix?
No. He's against the Clippers. The Clippers are 1-9 in games he officiates.
So when you bet NBA basketball, you pay attention to the refs more than
absolutely,
anything else.
Yep. There's a Twitter handle, NBA referees, and then there's NBA referee stats. Actually, Fred, you know what's funny? They're now doing it with baseball umpires. And last week, obviously when the whole sticky stuff came out, I looked at it, and it showed the home and away umpire totals. And I looked at it. Every single one of them on last Sunday, there was only one over like that hit, I think, that day. But all the refs were in favor. All the umpires were in favor of the under. When I looked at the scores, a lot of games were low scoring. I don't know if that was a getaway day or whatnot, but that's now something I'm looking at when it comes to baseball games. Who's the pitcher? And like Garrett, like what's his name? Garrett Richards. I'd probably bet the over in a lot of his games.
I would too.
Yeah. Well, what's the over? 20?
Well, it was 10.5 the other day. And, I mean, how many did you give? 5 home runs or whatever it was?
So, all right. So you, but you've been doing well. This, you were not like Lifshatz. You have not lost your ass.
You know what
playoffs.
It is. The futures have destroyed us. I mean, I had Lakers, Brooklyn, any way you could think about it. I put a little dabble on the Clippers. I have nothing for a future right now. I actually have the Bucks. Excuse me, +110 to win the championship. But yeah, we lost our ass on the futures. But yeah, dabbling here. It's boring. I'm bored. Like the hot dog eating contest is what I want to bet on at this point, or I don't know, Euro soccer or something. Like
hot dog eating contests, are there over unders for
How many eat? How many eat?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
We
in 10
went over
minutes?
This yesterday.
Well, what's the over under for our buddy Jeffrey Esper?
Ooh, I should look that up. because he wants to get to 50.
Yep, that was, you know, that was the goal.
I'm going to get a number.
And he had 50 2 years ago when he finished third.
So I bet you it's 48 and a half. I'll look it up.
You have a little bit of info on him.
Again, I saw him. I went to a Hooters. I used to be a big wing eating guy.
You stopped?
You
don't like wings anymore?
Competitive wing eating guy? Or
Monday night wings used to be a thing for me and my friends. We'd go to a Halfway Cafe, if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you I don't eat salad. There are certain things I crush. Wings are one of them.
How many?
Pizza's one of them. I mean, I could probably eat 3 pounds. In a sitting.
What is 3 pounds? How many wings? Well,
you know when you go to the, I like to go to the Market Basket and get like the honey stung wings.
Right.
Pound and a half is like, you know, $7. I'll get 2 pounds and rip through them. I could rip through those things.
That two dozen? Something
yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. It's, yeah. I would
now,
say.
Now, do you do this for speed or you just do this for?
No. Like, you know how I say I want to sit all day and do nothing?
Yes.
I want lots of wings all day. So I could just have the wings available to me whenever I want.
Yeah, but I mean, I've watched Man vs. Food, and it happens with me, too. There is a food wall that happens. I mean, after an hour or two, or for me, it's like 35, 45 minutes, you're like, okay, I'm done eating. That's it. I'm done. That doesn't happen to you?
Yeah, sometimes.
You don't know how jealous I am of you right now, Joe.
My God, Joe. Well, that's awesome. All right,
so my problem is I never stopped eating like a kid who worked out every day and played sport. You know what I mean? Like, right. So I just one day, I'm just going to keep eating like that, you know? And that's why I gained 50 pounds.
I'm just so jealous of you that you, this weekend, so you're sticking around to do the show on Saturday morning.
Yep.
But then after that, you are planning just to sit and eat. And this is, in for you, this is exciting.
Yes, I have a resort that is, and I don't have to move far. Like, I'm 30 steps away from the beach. I'm 50 steps away from an outdoor and indoor pool.
Now, will you go into the ocean?
I love the ocean. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I let it all hang out, Fred.
Do you wear a swim shirt, or do you go in?
I am a merman, and I do not wear a shirt. Who is
that? Okay.
Yep,
I know that was a topic of discussion because I was driving around in my car.
Me.
I heard that. Shirt on or shirt off in the ocean?
Big discussion.
We'll discuss that next. That was the teaser of all teasers.
This was a Tucker idea, by the way. But
okay. Yeah,
the Joe show this past weekend was... So, Fred, do you cut the bottoms of your lining of your bathing suit?
I don't have any linings in my bathing suit.
You don't have lining in your bathing suit?
No, I wear board shorts.
Oh, you wear shorts?
Board shorts.
There you go.
They're swim trunks. Well, they do not have linings in them.
That's a little more expensive. I don't know if they make those in the Joe size. Board shorts?
Well, Joe, I mean, they are quite an expense. I'll tell you, these board shorts, they're up there. I mean, $300 a pair. No, the lining is just, the minute you get into the water, all it does is crush your balls up back into your body.
That's what I'm saying. I cut mine now. I cut them. Rip them right out.
I don't know where you can buy a bathing suit with a liner in it.
Well, I guess the only size I can get is the ones with the lining in it.
Okay. An elastic band?
Yes. And I'm rocking my red, white, and blues on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You got it all planned.
Yeah. Got to be patriotic for the ladies.
So if you go down to the beach, you'll bring like food with prepared food with you?
I got a Yeti cooler ready to go. We do snacks at the beach. You know, maybe some dip, chips. I got Down East ciders for dinner. I got like literally. Like,
you have something on wheels you can just pull?
Yeah, I have a Yeti cooler on wheels.
Hey, see, that's the thumbs up from Dan O'Brien in the other room, who is a pro at this. Dan does it better than anybody else I know. You talk to Dan about his beach excursions because Dan lived in Maine for a long period of time. He lives up in York, and the beach is right near where his house is. You talk to Dan about, and it's something called the O'Brien Beach Invasion. You have like 85 O'Briens go onto the beach at once.
Yep.
And everyone has something on wheels. Everybody has, well, you bring this and you bring that. Dan is the most organized beach goer I've ever run across in my life.
Somebody took a picture of my wagon the other day on the beach. A renter, someone that was there. They said, do you mind if I take a photo of your wagon?
We have a wagon this weekend coming with us.
Very good. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
I got the wheel cooler. They got the wagon.
I got like a Tommy Bahama thing that rolls on four wheels that has like a hook for your chairs and stuff like that. Very easy, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to fold up and put away.
And now they make these little runways now, so you don't have to drag it through the sand anymore.
I've seen those. Yeah. Yep. Not on the beach that I go to, but yes.
Joe, I have to tell you, I am very jealous of you.
Fred, I mean,
it does not take much to make Joe happy.
If you're bored, if you're bored, you got nothing to do. Dave, I'll give you the address. 2-hour ride, though. 2-hour ride.
It's 2-hour ride to where you are on the Cape.
Yeah, he's got time. You got time, Fred. Yeah.
But we have a pool, we have an ocean, we have grills,
Fred, sounds good to me.
Fireworks at night.
All right. Well, all right. Stephon Gilmore is talking about his holdout. There is some information where that is concerned. We'll get into that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was young. I was surviving the times. Waiting for my moment. I was destined to shine. Lil Ray had an
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Never had a rope on my neck. Joe Murray, who cuts the lining of his bathing suits as he goes into the ocean.
That's right.
Mike Lockhart has devised a little game for you, Joe, at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
For 8 o'clock this morning. A little game for you. So look forward to that.
All right, I'm interested.
That is coming up at 8 o'clock. All right, Stephon Gilmore, he's not going to play for $7 million a year. You wouldn't play for $7 million a year if you were him. The Patriots are in a situation where he did not report to mandatory minicamp. Here is Jeremy Fowler from ESPN talking about the situation.
And I'm told that Gilmore largely has not expected to be traded throughout this process because he knows the Patriots have made moves with Gilmore in mind. They haven't gotten a cornerback to replace him. And as one source told me, do the Patriots really want to go into week 4 against Tom Brady without their top cornerback? And so things are slow right now, but I expect those sides to ramp up negotiations sometime before training camp.
Nice again, music. Where's
thank
the
God
funk?
For that music.
Where's the funk? That's up.
Couldn't understand anything he said.
Usually we have like this laid back like jazz stuff. Now we're up tempo, man.
I'm told that Gilmore largely has not expected to be traded throughout this process because he knows the Patriots have made moves with Gilmore in mind. They haven't gotten a cornerback to replace him. And as one source told me, do the Patriots really want to go into week 4 against Tom Brady without their top cornerback? And so things are slow right now, but I expect those sides to ramp up negotiations sometime before training camp.
This is Ocean's 11 where they're getting the vault ready. That's what that music is.
I just don't know why they feel like they have to put music on everything that they say. As if that, like, bear with me, guys. I'm going to talk for 10 seconds. I know it's a lot, but you're going to have to hear that. But I don't even know what the holdup with Gilmore is. I mean, obviously, none of you think that this is an option. I mean, they have to. How do you spend all that money on all that crap and then not re-sign your best player?
This is one of those rare times where the player has the advantage over Belichick. And Gilmore is absolutely right. They didn't get anyone to replace him. They know that the defense is significantly worse without him. And in every other year in Belichick's tenure, he could stare the player down and go, F you, we don't need you. We'll figure it out. I mean, there was a time, Fred, you remember, you know, Brandon Browner, who spun out of control after he left here. But Browner and Revis were a damn good cornerback tandem. Belichick said goodbye to both of them, brought in an untested Malcolm Butler, and they were just as good the next year. This year's different. This year there's more pressure to win because the owner just spent $200 million in free agency.
And the whole argument that, you know, well, would you give a guy coming off injury who's this old, this kind of money is moot because they already did a bunch of stuff you're not supposed to do. If it was me, I would have traded them last year. But they chose to, you know, do what bad teams do and try to rebuild on the fly. And so, I mean, you can't lose your best defensive player. the goal is to win games this year, correct? They're not building for the future.
No, this is one of those deals where if they finish 8-9 or 9-8, it's a colossal failure. This team should make the playoffs. It has to make the playoffs.
I think they'll be okay with if they had to move on from him. The problem is you're going to get 50 cents on the dollar. And
it's all future assets. Like, you're not going to get anything that's going to contribute this year for him.
But there's also no corner you can compare him to. Like, every other top corner in the league is this young 25, 26-year-old kid that's worth two draft picks. You know, Kid Slay is the same age as him. He's got a decent deal, but Gilmore is worth more. So there's nobody to compare him to in the market. He's coming off an injury. He's 31. They gave him money a year ago. So, I mean, I wonder if he stays out 4 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, are they willing to... All right, let's go through the first four games without him and see what they have here.
I have to believe that Gilmore's instincts are right. The Patriots are going to come across and they're going to get this done at the beginning of training camp so they can hit the ground running. I mean, the clock's running. They got about 3 weeks to get it done. But I have to believe they're going to be very unpatriot-like and go, okay, Stephon, here's a front-loaded three-year contract which we can void after two, and then we'll go our separate ways.
So I have this thing in town, guys, where I read like certain guys, like Mike Reese, for example. The last 2 weeks he has said, nothing to worry about here. You know, Gilmore's hoping to work things out. But they say nothing. Like, we don't know anything that's going on. There's been no movement. The same thing with Chase Winovich. The guy missed all of OTAs. And nobody knows anything or says anything about it. And, like, nobody's written about it. Like, literally. Like, so the more I think about it, has anything really happened at all? And, I mean, I don't think anyone really knows what's going on here. And the fact that he comes out to the media and says, oh, okay, when he's looking at, you know, other salaries. He did delete it overall, but, like...
But he deleted that tweet?
Well, yeah, he deleted the tweet, but
what's the point of deleting that tweet? Like, everyone saw it. Yeah, he knew what it was going to do. Like, now you screen take it back.
It's no secret he's not happy. But, I mean, what difference does it
make? But think about it. This is the year that Belichick can't be like he was anymore. Like, you know, Dante Hightower's on a deal where he should be a 30-year-old making that money. Now he's, 30, 31, and didn't even blink at the contract, you know? Like, here it is with Gilmore. He gives him more money a year ago. And now he's like, you know, playing for $7 million, and it's like, you know, we gave you the money a year ago. So I don't know. I mean, he doesn't really have. I don't think Belichick has leverage when it comes to these players.
He needs him.
He has no leverage.
He needs him badly for this defense.
And by the way, you start out with divisional games. Like, it's not like they can, you know, just have Gilmore come in week 4 for the, just because it all starts with the Tampa Bay game. I mean, they play. Don't they start the season with Miami?
Yep. Yes.
I mean, these are divisional games. You can't afford to chuck one of these things.
Yeah, they got Miami and the Jets to start.
They put themselves in this position. They were unwilling to take two down years to rebuild and to stock up assets and get younger. They were unwilling to do it. So this is what comes with that, is you're going to have to pay Gilmore more than you want to, more than that's quote-unquote smart, but you also dumped a bunch of money on a bunch of garbage receivers, too. I mean, the idea that they came out that first day of free agency and spent like that, now when you look back and see what happened after they did that, I mean, how much of a miscalculation was that? I mean, it's not my money, and they can do whatever they want, but, I mean, my God.
Yeah, and I think Kraft put it on Belichick. We laugh at the teams who make those moves.
They still have cap room, too.
And I don't understand why they just get this thing done with Gilmore.
They still have $15 million of cap room. You telling me you can't make this work? Give him a bonus that you can spread out over 2 or 3 years. I mean, none of this makes sense to me. But why mess with this? Why F with Gilmore? Just get it done.
But why do they do this with star players, which drives me nuts? Why does it come to the final year? I mean, they did it, and I know Brady's the biggest example, but, like, why do you do this with your star players? Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins.
But it's different. It's different this year because they pushed money from this coming year to last year specifically to make Gilmore paid like he should have been paid, and everybody knew that this day was coming. And the other contracts with Wilfork and Mankins, the contract was the contract. They didn't change anything. They just decided that, you know, okay, now you're not being paid enough money. Gilmore knew last year he wasn't going to, and the team knew last year he wasn't going to be paid enough money this year.
So I think Gilmore's great. I do. But, like, is he Ty Law? Is he some of these other corners they've had?
He's very, very good.
Joe, he's going to be their best. Right now on paper, he's their best defensive player, and that's all that matters. Again, none of this is smart. None of this is shrewd. Like, the day of... That's another reason why I don't know why they just don't get this done. Like, the posturing is if you have anything, like, that you're smarter than everyone else is gone. There's no posturing with this. I mean, this is the path that they decided to choose. Really, with what they're doing, I don't understand why they let Brady go. Because remember, the whole argument that we had for letting Brady go was, all right, you know, start the rebuilding process, get it over with. And this would be the second year of a two-year rebuild. You would have gotten your quarterback. You probably would have gotten a better quarterback in the draft because you would have lost more games. And then you would have been smarter in free agency. And then next year, you would have been hopefully contending for the division.
Did they really think
2 years?
Well, how about this? Did they really think, did Belichick really think that he could, you know, grab Cam Newton off the scrap heap and make this team just as good so they could continue business as usual?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of looks that way.
It's crazy. I mean, because guys, I mean, it can take you 2 years to rebuild, 2 years to get yourself in position to start contending again. And I don't know why they're doing it. I've seen really bad teams do this, and it's a shame. All right, Burt Breer from MMQB is going to join us. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.